January 23rd.
Right.
Today's
23rd.
What? 23rd. Right?
Today's
Wednesday, yes? Yes.
Yeah, but it's the
23rd. Oh, you're right. Oh,
all right.
Tomorrow's the Prophet
Muhammad's
birthday,
24th. That's right. Okay.
Today is my son Eddie's birthday.
It's your son Eddie's birthday?
Yes.
All right. So do you know who you are?
Yes. Somewhat.
He's not the one with the warts, is he?
Yes.
He is.
He was.
He was. Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
This is January 23rd, 2012. We have Lynn in Sedona. Terry
2013.
2013, thank you. I'm glad she didn't yell at me. 2013, we have Lynn in Sedona, Terry in Sedona, and Daphne in Half Moon Bay, California. And we have all of you on the line, and thank you all so much for showing up and supporting this work, just us showing up. You know, some of you will get this, and this is my observation, just by showing up and keeping showing up, something shifts, and for many people, because what happens is there's a lot of the world that's falling apart right now. People are running around like chickens without heads, and we are attempting, and probably somewhat succeeding, at being a point of reference in this crazy world, and helping to anchor timelines. Let's see if you can understand this. Anchoring timelines from higher dimensions into this dimension. So one of the first things you notice, many people notice on these calls, is the time seems to go really fast. And that's one of the indications that you're participating in anchoring a timeline, because the time goes fast. And as you keep coming into this call, that fast-moving time starts to bleed through in your life, because it's not the call per se that's causing that experience. It's the integration of your conscious mind with the word. Is hard to find the right word, because it's not whatever word I say, until you feel it, till you get it, you know, it's a new idea. But the idea is that you are a multidimensional being, and that you extend into multiple timelines. So you have potentially can do that. But once you take an incarnation on Earth, you get contracted by the veil here, and these higher aspects of yourself, they get occluded, and this looks like all it is. And so when you start to access other timelines, you're kind of learning a new way of being. And so it can take a while for that to anchor. You know, historically, if you were studying under someone, they have something called initiations. And in truth, what initiation is giving somebody a reference point for a higher timeline, and then after a period of time, they learn to anchor that. And so the first step is to feel the energy, to feel what it feels like, and then slowly integrate it. You can't push the river, although for some people it happens really fast. And, you know, this has been my learning experience too. My learning experience in talking to them and my learning experience talking to our guys in other dimensions. And my learning experience mostly to learn how this process works with other people, because initially it just seemed like I had a lot of great information that was coming through Daphne and Terry, and I said, wow, this is information I don't think anyone's ever heard before. And we started putting the information out, but the information, even when you read, this is what they say now, that when you listen to their audios, when you read the transcripts, on some level, their energy is in the words. So as you engross yourself, immerse yourself in this, if you choose to, you have a constant reiteration of these higher frequencies. And hopefully, that will turn into a life-changing, a life-expanding experience. And it takes a while. It doesn't happen right away. And sometimes people that are really smart look at it and say, I want it now, I want it now, and I want it now. And that'll actually push it away by making those kind of demands. You've got to cooperate with your own process. And you'll see it's like a slow but steady movement. And it's just a matter of sticking with it. Now, one of the things is sometimes when you start doing this, for some people, things get worse before they get better. Because one of the things about moving into higher timelines is that most of us have blocks somewhere in our energy field. And so when you come across a block and you started to bring in energies from the higher realms, then where you are blocked starts to release itself. And when it starts to release itself, there can be uncomfortable feelings like anger, like hurt, like dizziness. And who is that breathing in there, Pat? LO12, let me see. Let's see if we get rid of them. Okay. So this is a huge, I call it an experiment, but it is an experiment. It's your experiment. Part of it is I have convinced myself that what I told you is true in watching this. And you have to convince yourself that it's true by having your own experience. And when you have your own experience, you can validate it inside of yourself. It's not based on me, Daphne. It's not even based on the Elohim. You just get it, and it's an intuitive getting it. And suddenly, pieces start coming together. But it happens when it does. It's happened for lots of people on the line. So we have some great questions tonight. Thanks to all of you who were asking questions. This is one of those nights we have more questions than I can possibly touch on. And I try to pick the questions, you know, just so you know, I try to pick the questions that will impact the most people. And sometimes people ask personal questions, but it's the kind of thing that lots of people go through, and so I ask those kinds of questions. Sometimes somebody is urgently in need of something. They're in grief. I try to ask those questions sometimes people are at a stuck point, and their stuck point is a stuck point that lots of people have, and I try to ask those questions. And some people ask questions out of curiosity about how things work, and although they can be questions, sometimes they don't answer them. I put them at the bottom of the pile because they're just mental questions. And it's unlikely, I'm not saying impossible, but the answer to them will change somebody's life. It'll just satisfy their curiosity. So my goal is to put things here that you can use to change your life and change the lives of the people around you. And I'm assuming that everyone that comes to these calls and who is picking up the premises of what we're doing wants to make a greater connection with the higher realms, wants to get let go of their lower negative habits, and that this is an opportunity not only to have the experience, but get to learn how it all works so that you become wiser as well as having more energy. Because when you become wiser, now you're starting to learn how to share things with other people. So on that note, I am going to call in the light, which is invoking a group energy amongst all of us present. And when I do this, pay close attention to the field around you or to the sensations around your body, and you may notice a shift. What we're doing is our expanded being, the parts of us in other dimensions, are connecting with each other and allowing a cushion, a space, for our higher friends to come in and join us. And let me just make sure, Terry, you're there, right? Hello, Terry. You're not muted?
I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. And Daphne, you're there, right?
I am here, Jim, yes.
Yes, okay. And I say this, and I can't say this enough. We are so extremely lucky to have Terry and Daphne cooperating and participating and being sacrificing and being those sources that are our bridge to the verbal communications of these higher dimensions of these, what identifies itself as group souls. Now, if there's a question that comes in that I can answer kind of as a dummy human from my levels, I may just answer it really quickly. And other questions I can't answer. Okay, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted, dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And our first question, and maybe I'll ask this one to Terry. There are sources as they speak through Terry. Is it possible to regenerate a part of the body? And if so, would it be possible by science or by spirit? And that is from Miriam Duran.
Thank you. If one were to regenerate a part of the body, and we greet you all in the love light of one infinite creator and are delighted to be with you and to enter into this communication in the earth realm. And we take a look and we see that if one were to regenerate a body part, that it would take a combination of spirit and a combination of science, in that there would need to be genetics and impulses to the area that would need to be coordinated with the spirit and to be coordinated with the mind of the individual, with the subconscious autonomic nervous system of the individual. And right now, in many areas, the way that the body form has been developed, there are not those specific impulses that would tell the part to regenerate. There are parts of the body that do regenerate and do have this impulse system set up. There is a way to bypass the actual physical autonomic impulses, which would take into account a pool of energies that would send special signals to the body to trigger the regenerative qualities of areas that did not ordinarily have these regenerative qualities, for instance, to grow a third set of teeth or to regrow an arm that had been cut off. During the cutting off process, there is a sealing or in the healing process, the area seals off, which stops it from further growth. So if one was to regrow the area, then one would need to trigger it soon after the appendage was cut off. So that is why that if an arm is reattached, it needs to be within a certain period of time before the death of the nerve endings and the connector sites that could reconnect and recombine. However, if it is done within a short period of time, the flow can be reestablished as the flow is still within the astral plane of the individual and can use this to jumpstart the connection. So there are areas within the body which do regenerate. However, there are other areas within the body that would need the extra triggering mechanism and extra information to start the regeneration and regrowth process of those areas.
Thank you. Now, I'm going to pose this question to our sources. to Daphne, and if she feels that she can't answer it without prejudice, I'll pass it over to Terry, okay? This is from Vaughn in Vaughn Fulkerson in Burbank. And by the way, if somebody asked me a really personal question, I wouldn't say your last name, okay? These are general questions, so I think it's okay to say the person's name. And Vaughn's question is, can our sources talk about the Trinity and explain what it is, especially if they can, in non-Christian terms? The idea of the Holy Ghost has always tripped me up. And recently I have begun thinking of the Holy Ghost as thoughts of God. Could this have any merit? And I turn it over to...
Hello?
I'm here.
Yes. One moment, we'll tune. We greet you in the light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'an. You have spoken about the conceptualization of that which you term Trinity, the Trinitarian consciousness, also referred to as the Christ consciousness, the Christ light. From our perspective, the interdimensional perspective, the Trinity acts as a bridge, as a gateway, as the resolution and harmonization of that which you deem dialectic or polarity. Trinity is not either or. Trinity is both and. It is resolution of apparently conflicting opposites through a phase modification, through a frequency amplification, thus moving perspective from the horizontal plane to the vertical plane. The horizontal plane, the experiential plane of life in a physicalized experience, moved to life from the vector of the spiritualized experience, necessitates a certain shifting of vantage points, a certain shifting of propensity, a certain architecting of those references inside of the body-mind-spirit complex, whereby associations which would cause, shall we say, strife, are ameliorated. It is, for example, a simple, shall we say, resolution dialectic. If, on the physical plane, you have two opposing forces heading at each other full force from a 180 degree opposition, intense pressures and ultimately ruptures result. Physically, you can see this architected in your ring of fire. Plate tectonics push against each other and create mountains and create fractures. In the physicalized experience, such opposing pressures ultimately bring into birth, bring into being that which is no longer of the same vibration or of the same altitude. It is of a higher vibration. In this case, two opposing plates bring into formation mountain ridges. In a physicalized body experience, two opposing forces bring into manifestation either strife, tension, and an ultimate, shall we say, demise of the old way, and an upwelling of the new. This is our answer.
Thank you. You know, I'm going to ask Terry an addendum to that. And there was an answer, as I recall, where we asked something about that, and it was indicated that it was an energy construct that the Ra group had been involved in creating. As I've come to understand that there's positive interdimensional forces are creating bridges, portals, all kinds of things in other realms so that energy can continue to flow seamlessly into this realm. And at the same time, there's negative forces that are creating stopgaps, dams, to capture energy and to prevent it from flowing back into source. And of course, we don't see any of this. And that in one of the answers to a question, there was some kind of indication that the Ra group was involved in the creating of energy bridges that were connected to Christianity, that became known as the Holy Spirit. And can we have any confirmation or elucidation of this particular idea?
Yes. In the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, there is within the Ra group the creation of an energy bridge, a Christ consciousness that is close in to the human population so that they can tap into this and they can experience the love and the all expansiveness and the energies of the Christ consciousness. The Son is the individual Jesus and is in as he experienced life in the third density, and the Father is the all that is, the God that is overwatching and loving all of the creation. And these operate together and make a whole wherein when one is tuned in to these, one can experience the benefits, the joy, the love, and the feeling of home and of being a part of the wonderful growth experience available to one in their life.
And that energy bridge was particularly anchored, I'm just asking this, particularly anchored in the one known as Jesus.
Yes, and it can become anchored in each and every person who is able to experience the frequencies and tune in to it and can have the ethics presence to be able to partake of this service to other energies.
Thank you. You know, I just want to make a comment, and this is something I've heard a long time ago. I know it's true, and that is dishonesty forfeits divine intervention. So if you are striving to make connections with the higher realms, you have to keep yourself impeccably honest with yourself and with other people. And a question here from Margie Friedman, and I'm going to take this one. Since it's addressed to me, why do you refer to the Elohim in the singular? I understand they're plural. So when you say, was the Elohim talking to me, like below, it annoys me. And she worked for some church, and they always referred to the Elohim as plural. Well, you know what? The universe is one being, and we're all subdivisions. As I've come to understand it, the voices that we're hearing talking to us are made up of many entities that are acting in cooperation and coming into a oneness. So it appears as one voice. And so it's like, sometimes I say, you guys, but really the illusion is that it's one voice, but it is and it isn't. And maybe Daphne can put some further understanding on that.
One moment, please. We greet you in the light of the one infinite creator. This is the Council of Ra'am. You speak of human vernacular. You speak of parlance. In terms of angelic, in terms of messenger, we see the Elohim both as, you would say, wave and particle, both as group and as singularity. It is a perceptual faculty of the 3D experience that one can see both the plural and the singular in congruence. From our perspective, it matters not whether one sees one as singular or plural, when in fact both are true, and as such, there is both wave and particle, and both are true. We would ask you to necessitate that which is within yourself and finds resonance. If you find more hopefulness, more joy in the expression of the divine essence in the singular, then by all means use that association. If you find more resonance in that which would be the plural, then by all means use that association. The various affinity of parlance of the language is particularized to each individual, and each individual is asked to speak to the interior sources of self from a place of the heart and a place of what feels resonant and what feels correct. For ultimately, all is divine. The I am, the spoken word, the logos, is the proto-form of making the celestial bridge into the heaven realm. The heaven realms coexist with the physical realm. As intention and thought is articulated into the physical space, and one brings oneself forward in the asking, in the reaching, in the striving, into the otherworldly space, an anchoring of light, of protoform, of intent is set forth, and precipitation, physicalization of that which one requests, and the desiring comes into functionality and into physicality. This is part of what you are learning as celestial architects, grounded in a 3D, tangible, physical body matter. Yes, you are in the process of upgrading your light quotient. Yes, you are in the process of upgrading the particular frameworks of your DNA. What is required at this point is practice and ultimate mastery of those abilities inherent in each and every person to articulate, i.e. to focus, various frequencies of design and desire and passion and bring those forth into a unique expression which is of that individual in its most highly articulated, unique, designed form. You are asked to be all that you can be in your prototypical architectural oversoul. Your oversoul is experiencing its myriad parts in a coordinated effort, in orchestrated effort, interdimensionally and through various timelines, coalescing into a singularity at this moment in the time and space. We say this is a mouthful, and in a simple answer, it matters not how you address your spiritual desires. It matters that you do choose words and resonances which attune for you and which bring the most joy and most passion. Thus said, speak to your Lord and know He is with you.
Thank you. And next, this is Merrill sent me a whole bunch of questions, and I am going to ask one of them, and I'll ask it for Terry. Why do we have emotions, and what are they from your perspective?
Thank you. Emotions are a way of accessing the world. It is a way of letting your own self know when there is something that needs to be addressed. When there is some situation, like a first alert system within your life to let you know that there is something afoot, something that is needed, and the emotions can help direct you to what is needed. For instance, if one feels afraid, then it is a sign that one needs to address that fear and to find out if there is something in the surroundings that need to be corrected for the sustenance of life to go on, or it can take all kinds of complexity, that if a person is afraid, and it might be a chronic fear based upon news in the media, or based upon some situation that one does not know how to handle or have any control over handling it. When one has unexpressed resentment, it is a sign that there is something at the base of it, an unexpressed communication that hasn't been able to get across. An expansion that the individual could move into, however, there is a blockage somewhere. So people can use the emotions to direct their attention to find out more about it, to observe it, to see what is at the root of it. It can be a great directional symbol, set of symbols to help one fine-tune their life and to operate by. When one can move up through the negative emotions and get into the positive emotions, then it is a sign that one is on the right track and they can experience joy and cheerfulness and the elixir of living with the rewards of having the life fulfilled for and with them and by them. Emotions are a very important tool that one can use in the assessment of their own life and see what they can bring to themselves, what needs to be addressed. If they're sad and lonely, that something can be addressed in that area, needs to be addressed to bring fulfillment. And it could be a symbol or a sign that there is something built into their own soul housing in the area of a belief system that is preventing them from accessing their full potential and their full joy.
Thank you. For Daphne. Anna, Anne in Maine had a dear friend who is in San Francisco who did missionary work, and he died, and he never told her he was terminally ill. And I think she says, can you help? I think she's trying to relieve herself of the incompletion and why her friend didn't reach for her. And let's see if anything comes forth from our sources through Daphne.
One moment, please. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. We greet you in the love and the light of the One and the Creator. We speak to you this evening and address this query. This is the Council of Ra'an. You speak of the unresolved issues of personal connection and of personal feelings of closeness as you would address them upon your plane. The individuated expression of whether to, quote, burden another with one's demise, these are highly individuated. In the particular instance which we are addressing and which we are looking at, we see a soul who was independent in nature, who felt that by holding certain issues, holding certain vulnerabilities, holding certain dependencies, energetically speaking, emotionally speaking, psychologically speaking, close to the chest, he would thus spare his companions and those with whom he shared an emotional bond a certain heaviness he did not wish to encumber. We sense from our perspective this was done out of respect. This was done out of compassion. This was done out of a sense of not wishing to burden another, not out of a sense of uncaring or mistrust. It is a particularized expression of this consciousness and of this entity. It was a free will choice. In terms of bringing resolution, of bringing a divine design into a higher accordance with what is felt to be helpful in the heart arena, one can ask for stabilization and containment of those energies which one feels to be burdened with, which one feels to be saddened with, and one can offer them up to the place of clarity, to the place of what we have described before in previous sessions as the witnessing self. If one is able to bring one's sense of sadness, one's sense of loss, one's sense of dependency, one's sense of regret, if one can bring these to a place of offering these to be taken and literally transmuted by the higher God source, one avails oneself of healing modalities of an interdimensional nature which can alter the understanding and the experiences of the person undergoing such uncomfortable emotions. We would counsel this individual to offer up what it is she is feeling and to await a kind of divine designed presentiment of hope. And having hope alleviates the feelings of frustration. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question from Gary, which I'm not going to ask. He's asking about the significance of the inaugural celebration of Barack Obama. And Gary, that kind of a question is a loaded time bomb. When we go into politics or when we go into religion, I mean, sometimes we touch on that in a positive way, but sometimes people want to know, well, tell me the details about this or that or the other thing in religion. And it may vary and be different from the way the text is written for that religion. And people are relying on that text and depending on it. And it's not important that they know the specifics if it's working for them. And so it's not something, it's in the best interest, the highest good, to go into those kind of questions. And same thing with politics. Some people think Barack Obama is terrible, there should be a Republican. Some people think that he is not doing what he said he did. Some people think he's controlled by other people. And some people think he's a light worker. And it's not up for us to tell you to try to figure that out. You can do it yourself and do enough searching on the internet, okay? Because people that have high passion about politics will then lose their connection with the rest of our work because we said something that wasn't politically correct, so it's not worth it. And then, let me see here. Jaiba Yega in Nigeria asked, why does a soul that accomplished great feats and earth-shaking ventures come back to the third density? And, those of you that listened to Philip Dick and that thing I read on Philip Dick, it's because if souls did not come back into this realm who were high, wise, and could hold the light, this realm would fall back into the negative, even more so than it is. The only thing that is holding this realm above the waterline is all of those souls that have come into it to be of service. And it's a tremendous sacrifice, because once a soul graduates this realm and doesn't have the requirement to come back, and they do come back, if things, you know, sometimes they get stuck in many, many lifetimes going through it again. And, you know, if you've heard that Terry St. Catherine thing, I mean, she's had loads of lifetimes where people were killing her head was cut off. It's like, so, you know, it's like you lose, it becomes tragic because you lose even the memory that it all works that way. So, you see, we're constantly recreating ourselves. And when a soul comes in that does great feats and earth-shaking ventures, oftentimes it's because they found themselves at the right time in their right place, and they measured up, and they came forth. But if they didn't find themselves in the right time in the right place, if they didn't have the synchronicities, then they could have just been another ordinary person, and even a sub-ordinary person. And that's the way that I see that it works. And let's see, Marilyn, ask your question next week. Okay, that's a good question. And if you don't, I might try to remember to ask it. All right? And Meryl, try to pick the most important question. Okay, because I can't answer all those questions. And Carla's not going to be here tonight, those of you that were waiting for her. And, you know, we've been doing something really extraordinary for people hanging on the line after our regular call is over. This is not on DBS. It's only on our phone calls. And you have to listen to it to experience it. And I'm getting emails from people. And let me see how much. One Monday I'll bring Carla in and we'll talk about it in more detail, because we only have about a minute left. So I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Gary. I want to thank Heise, even though he was late today. And I want to thank our sources. And I thank all of you for showing up and holding the space for us to do this and bring this incredible knowledge and wisdom and understanding of how the realms work into this realm. We wouldn't be doing it if you weren't showing up. So, and special thanks again to Daphne and Terry. And on that note, I'm unmuting everybody, I think.
Unmuted.
Muted? Thank you, Daphne. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Your conference recording has stopped.
You are.
Morgan.
Queen, this is the second time I haven't been able to get on the internet. Do you know why?
Do I know why?
Yes. I mean, am I the only one with that problem?
Might be.
Oh, God.
You know, sometimes people's servers go down and you can't pick up the internet. You know, you might log into DBS directly, because they have other ways, they have multiple ways of getting on. And usually, I get a bunch of emails if the internet is not working for some reason, okay?
Oh. Yeah, it's really strange. If I'm not able to listen, I want to hear the recording. I can't get it.
You know what? If you go to the Spirit Channel, there's three different ways you can get the recording. Okay?
Okay.
Look at it carefully. It says alternative archive site. And you can try one of those other sites, okay? Because, and you can also try, you know, when you go to the Spirit Channel and you go to click on it, it downloads it. It doesn't play it. So you may have to go into your download folder and see if it's there, because it might be downloading them all and you don't know it.
Okay? Oh, okay. Okay.
We have a new way of doing it in a few months. And it used to be you just click on it and it would start to play. Now, when you click on it, it won't play. It downloads it. Do you know where your download folder is?
I think so, yes, yes.
It's in my documents. Look for your download folder. And I'll bet you have a bunch of calls that are downloaded into there. Okay?
Oh, that would be nice. All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Wynn. Thanks, Harry. Thanks, Daphne. Good work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.